I think there's a couple more chairs. It's kind of fun to have you guys in here. I haven't had you in here before. And tonight is a special night because we are going to be learning about Passover, Pesach. But before we do, we're going to continue with our normal service. So if everyone would please stand for the Shema. If everyone would please stand, kids. With the Shema, we proclaim that there is one God. Jews all over the world tonight will be saying the same prayers. We proclaim that there is one God, and blessed is the name of our God. Please join me in the Hebrew and then the English. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem. Kevod malchuto leolam va'ed. Together in the English. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his glorious King, whose kingdom is forever and ever. And we continue with the Be'ahavta. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. Together in the English. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and love your neighbor as yourself. Yeshua our Messiah said, on these two commandments hang the entire law and the prophets. On these two commandments, love our Lord, the Lord our God, and love our neighbor as ourselves. You can be seated. I'd like to invite Rob to come up and lead us in prayer.
Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, thank you for drawing us this Shabbat evening. And thank you as we prepare in these days to celebrate the great feast of Passover. Thank you for the liberation of our people that we celebrate. And thank you for the redemption of our people that is shown not only that night, but by the coming of the Messiah. Help us to gain more meaning from it this very night. And may all Israel this very year be protected and be freed from their own oppression and from the fear of neighbors who seek to destroy them, as has been going on for centuries. And yet your protecting hand continues through the ages. And we accept your rule, we accept your might, we accept your love, and accept your kingdom. May we honor you in everything that we say and do tonight, Avinu. We pray, B'Shem Yeshua Mashiachinu. Amen.
Thanks, Rob. Tonight, as I say, we have the privilege of having Nikki come, and she's going to teach us about the Passover Seder, which many of you guys will be having in your homes this coming week. So please listen carefully. Instead of Shabbat school tonight, Nikki's going to be teaching us. So I think you're going to have a lot to learn from Nikki tonight.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, kids. It's good to have you in the service. You know, we always say that you're such an important part of our lives and an important part of the life of Congregation Sar Shalom. And so it's good to have you part of the service. And I told your parents that you're going to be really good kids today. You know what? I have a special prize for those of you. I think that you're all going to be really good. And so I went and bought a special gift for each of you that I'm going to give you afterwards. So that's something to look forward to. Yeah? And I trust you're all going to be really good and you're going to listen. Well, we're going to talk about Passover. The first question I have to ask you is, who's the hero of Passover? Jamie. Moses. That's true. If you ask most Jewish kids who the hero of Passover is, they'd say Moses. But you know what? For those of us who, yes.
Jesus.
Jesus, exactly. Now, thank you. Jewish people like talking with their hands, so this is a good thing. Yep, if you ask most Jewish people who the hero of Passover is, they'll tell you Moses is the hero of Passover. But for those of us who know Yeshua as the Messiah, we would say Yeshua is the hero of Passover. And you know why? Because not only did Yeshua celebrate the Passover every year while he lived here on earth, but more than that, you know what? All these things that we're going to talk about Passover, talk about the Messiah. And they point to the Messiah. And I think you'll see clearly that they tell us more about what the Messiah would come to do for us one day in the story of his life and his death and his resurrection. The very first thing we do at Passover is that we clear our homes of all leaven. And people may ask why we do that, and there's actually something really important in the Bible that tells us to do that. Not only in the story about Passover, but even in the New Testament, Paul, a Jewish rabbi who became a follower of Yeshua, said, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast or leaven works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are, for the Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. So you know there's this tradition at Passover that tells us that yeast is a symbol of sin. Now for those of you who don't know what yeast is what puffs the bread up. You know when you get your really fluffy bread? You see, this is matzah, it has no yeast in it. But bread that has all those fluffy like that's fluffy, that's got yeast in. And yeast in the Bible is a symbol of sin. And sin is a bad thing, right? So we want to rid our home of all sin. And so there's a tradition during Passover called Bedikat Chometz. And that's the clearing of the house of all leaven. And in Orthodox Jewish homes, for 6 weeks prior to Passover, the house undergoes a complete spring cleaning. We remove all cakes, cookies, baking powder, flour, cereal. You know what? Even the Twinkies have to go. Now, this is generally the work of the women in the home. But you know what? It's interesting that the Jewish man is supposed to prepare for Passover. So I think we have a problem here, don't you? And the problem's been resolved by our rabbis by a tradition called Bedikat Chometz, the clearing of the home of the leaven. And so the night before Passover, the head of the home actually returns to his house and takes up some rather strange-looking cleaning tools. Don't you think these are weird cleaning tools? He takes a wooden spoon and a feather and a napkin. And when the lights are turned off, he goes on what's called the Bedikat Chometz, the search for the leaven. Now, you and I and Michelle are actually going to search for that last piece of leaven that's been hidden somewhere here in our home. So I think the lights need to be turned down, and we're going to have Michelle take you guys on looking for the Bedikat Chometz. Here you go. Here's your... Now, where could that leaven be? It could be anywhere. Behind, in front, under a piece of carpeting. Basically, it can be anywhere. But depending on the relationship the wife has with her husband that year, she's probably hidden it in the same place she hid it last year. Now it's just for you and I to figure out exactly where it's been hidden. Do you want to try and help, Michelle? Where do you think it is? You found it? I think Kaylee found it. She found the missing Twinkie. Fancy that. Well, we're going to have to bundle that up. Let's put that up. And you know what happens? In some Orthodox Jewish homes, they actually go and take it to a large bonfire, a big fire that's burning in the courtyard of the synagogue. Thank you, Kaylee. And all the men of the synagogue are gathered there, and each takes his bundle of leaven and throws it away into the flames, because remember, the leaven represents sin. Well, the house is now spotless and clean, and it's been cleansed of all leaven, and it's now ready for the Passover celebration. Passover begins with us blessing our very first cup. There's four cups that we drink from, and the first cup is called the Kiddush cup. Kiddush means to make clean or sanctification. And so we hold the Kiddush cup aloft and we separate the evening and bless it unto the Lord. We say, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has created the fruit of the vine. Some of you may know this, so you can sing along with me. And those of you who know it here can join me too. Bye! Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Baruch Puri Hadassim Amen. Well, the house has now been cleansed and set apart for Passover. There's a customary greeting at Passover. Come, let all who are hungry eat. Now, I hope you've got some space left in your belly, because afterwards we're going to eat some fun Passover things. But during this time, we're going to seek to answer some of the questions. And you know, at Passover, there's something called the four questions, the four traditional questions which the child asks. And they're found in this book, which is called the Haggadah. And Haggadah in Hebrew means the story or the telling. The story of Passover is told in the Haggadah. Well, the first question the child then asks is, and it goes like this, it's in Hebrew, which means, why is this night different from all other nights? And those of us who know the story of Passover then tell the children, this is because of what God did for us when He brought us out of the land of Egypt. You see, we were slaves in the land of Egypt. We were captured there. And we had a really hard time, a really bad time in Egypt. But we remember the fact that during that time, God was wonderful to us and brought us out of the land of Egypt. He redeemed us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. You see, the story of redemption, of being brought out of the land of Egypt, is the heart of Passover. But you know, Passover tells us more than the story of Passover. It tells us about a message of Passover and the means of Passover, which is about redemption. The time when God told us to put blood on the doorposts of our homes so that death would pass over. And so my ancestors and your ancestors, those of you who are Jewish, actually put some blood on the door frames of their houses, the blood from a little lamb that they put on the homes. And when the angel of death came over the land of Egypt and saw the blood painted on those homes, guess what? The angel of death passed over those homes. And that's where we get the name Passover from. The time when the angel passed over the land of Egypt because of the blood of those lambs. What a wonderful story about redemption, don't you think so? But how much more amazing when you and I think what Yeshua did for us. Because you know, just as none of the bones of those first Passover lambs were broken, so none of Jesus' bones were broken when He died for us on the cross. And just as my ancestors in faith had to put the blood on those doorposts of their homes so that death would pass over, so you and I have to put the blood of the Messiah Jesus on the doorposts of our hearts. We need to paint it. Not really painted, but like symbolically painted on our hearts so that death will pass over. The child then asks another question. Why on this night do we eat only unleavened bread? Why do we need to eat this like Jewish cracker? You know why?
Because it doesn't have yeast in it.
That's
if it had
right.
Yeast, then that would represent.
Why is there no yeast in the matzah?
Because when Jesus ate it,
and you know why it didn't have any? Because the Jewish people had to flee the land of Egypt in a hurry. They were in a big hurry. And so they didn't have time for the bread to rise. And so that's why the matzah had no yeast in it. And so that's why. And you know, there's another part of this whole tradition about the matzah called the matzah tosh. Do you think you can say that? Matzah tosh. And inside this pouch are actually three layers. Can you see that? Three layers of matzah, each separated by a little piece of cloth. And you know what happens? The head of the home, the father in the home, actually takes out the middle piece, he says a blessing, and then he breaks this in two. He sets a smaller half aside, and the larger half gets a special name. It's called Afikoman. Do you think you can say that with me? Afikoman. Fantastic! You all speak Greek! For that's a Greek name, not a Hebrew word, and it actually means that which comes later. And that's exactly what happens, for the Afikoman is wrapped in a white cloth and it's buried, hidden from view. No one else, especially the children, may know where it's been hidden, but later on they'll need to find it or the service can't be concluded. And I think we're going to hide our Afikoman. Have you done that before Passover?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Well, now remember, you have to close your eyes. So if you want to be searching for the Afikoman afterwards, your eyes need to be closed. So all eyes need to be closed now. Remember, God is watching. Keep those eyes closed, no peeping.
God can tell the parents.
God can tell the parents? Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes closed. All right, now you know what? Now you can't look for it now. You have to wait a while. Guess what? Unless you can later find our Effie Coleman, we all can't go home tonight. So you have the most important part of the service. Her daddy! Someone's happy to see her dad. So guess what? If you can't find our Effie Coleman, we're not going home. So you have the most important part, but we're going to look for it later. The child asked two more questions. Why on this night do we eat bitter herbs, and why do we dip the herbs in salt water? Well, let me explain by showing you this. Anyone know what this is called? What's this called?
A Seder plate.
Seder plate. And why is it called Seder? Do you know what Seder means?
Because.
You'd be very clever if you knew that. I'd be very impressed. It means order. Because Passover follows a very specific order of service. Now, despite the appearance of this little Seder plate, believe it or not, it's not used for deviled eggs. Instead, what we actually do is we place a symbolic piece of food from the Passover into each one of these little spaces. And together they tell us about the story of redemption, how God brought our people out of a land of slavery into a land of freedom. So let's take a look at these different items. Do you want to actually take a look at the plate? Why don't you take a look at that, pass that around, and then you can give it back to me when you're done. The first item you find on the Seder plate is this one. It's called karpas, and karpas generally is parsley or lettuce. And these green leaves represent life. You know, like spring, when spring comes out and you suddenly see the trees budding, you know that life's come. Well, this is a symbol of life. But before we eat it, we actually dip it into salt water, which represents tears. And so we remind ourselves that a life without redemption is a life immersed in tears. The second item that we partake of is called chatzeret, the root of the bitter herb. We generally use an onion or a horseradish. This root reminds us that the root of life is bitter, as it certainly was for our ancestors when they were in that nasty land of Egypt. Now this is called maror, freshly ground horseradish. We're supposed to eat at least a teaspoonful. Any volunteers? These are Jewish kids. They know what this tastes like. Any volunteers out there? You? All right, come on. Now, since the kids got a teaspoon, you have to get a little more than a teaspoon. All right. Now, why don't you stand in front of the kids so that they can see what happens to you when you eat so much horseradish? All right. What happens? Watch his eyes. What's happening to his eyes? Yeah! You know, it's a competition between your sinuses and the horseradish, and you know what? The horseradish always wins, even with Joel. It's called Jewish Sinutab, and it really works.
Yeah, actually, this is probably, I don't know if it's me, or if maybe this is one of the milder horseradishes that gave me.
Yeah.
Because I have come across some stuff which does have more punch.
Well, it's called grace.
Yeah,
all right, so you cry. But you know what? I want to tell you something about Yeshua. You know Yeshua, the night in which he was betrayed, actually was at a Seder, at a Passover Seder. It was called the Last Supper. And at that Last Supper, do you remember what he said? He said, one of you will betray me. Do you remember who betrayed Yeshua, Jesus? Who betrayed him, Christopher? Judas. And at the table, actually, Yeshua took the maror and he said, one of you will betray me. And the disciples said, who would do such a thing? And he said, the person who dips the sop, his hand in the sop with me. And do you remember what happens? Yeshua takes the bread, he dips it in the maror, and he gives it to Judas. And you know what Scripture says? Scripture says, Satan entered Judas. And Jesus said to Judas, what you are to do, do quickly. And Judas went off into the darkness, while maror, bitterness, and tears. The next item on the Seder plate is my favorite part of Passover. It's called charoset. It's made of chopped apples, honey, nuts, and raisins. And you all know that's my favorite part. Whose favorite part is that of Passover? Who likes eating charoset? Guess what? I have charoset not for the adults, but I have charoset for you. So I have for each one of you some charoset. Maybe Michelle can help me hand that out to each of you. Is it pudding? Kind of. It's really good. It's made of honey, nuts, some cinnamon, some chopped apples. And you know what it's supposed to represent? The cement which our ancestors used when they had to make bricks for Pharaoh. I should ask, who cannot eat nuts? Anybody here not allowed to eat nuts? Okay, so if you can't eat nuts, don't eat that because there's some nuts in. So it represents the cement which our ancestors used when they made bricks for Pharaoh. Now some people ask our rabbis why we use such a sweet-tasting mixture to represent such bitter, hard work. And our rabbis explain that even the bitterest work is sweetened with a promise of redemption. Taste good? Yeah? I like it too. Now the last item you're going to find, actually the second last item, is called Chagiga. It was a name given to the daily temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. The egg is roasted and that turns it brown. And before we eat it, we dip it into salt water. Anyone here remember what the salt water represents? Tears. Why do you think we dip the egg in the tears?
Because
you're not sure? How about you, Jason? Why do we dip it in salt water?
The tears of the crying of the people.
And why are we sad?
And,
you want another one? The reason we dip the egg in the salt water is because the egg is a token of grief. Because this represents sacrifices. And since we can't bring sacrifices anymore because we don't have a temple, we grieve that. And so that's why we dip the egg in the salt water. Now the last item is called Zeruah. It's the shank bone of a lamb. Passover is also known as the feast of the Passover lamb. Yet you know many Jewish people don't want to eat lamb at Passover. You know why? The reason why is because the lambs that used to be eaten at Passover were also the sacrifices that were brought at the temple. But since we don't have a temple anymore or an altar to bring those sacrifices, that's why we don't serve any lamb anymore at Passover. The presence of this item, as well as this item on the Passover table, reminds us of the fact that we can no longer bring sacrifices because, why? We don't have a temple anymore. But these two items should bring an interesting question to your little heads, and that is, why don't we bring sacrifices anymore if we don't have a temple? There's a problem, you know, because God said to Moses that the only way we can be forgiven for our sin is through a blood sacrifice. Now, guess what? I think we're going to collect those little cups. Otherwise, you're getting too distracted here. All right. All right. Thank you. It's very important that you listen to me now with what I'm about to tell you. I know that you enjoy the food. Yeshua, God said of these sacrifices that we need to have a blood sacrifice to be forgiven for our sin. God told Moses that. The only way you can be forgiven for your sins, for the bad things you do, is through a blood sacrifice. So we have a problem. Our temple was destroyed, and so was the altar on which we brought sacrifices. And so from way back, thousands of years ago until today, we haven't been able to bring sacrifices. So we have to ask ourselves, how are we forgiven without a blood sacrifice? Well, the truth of the matter is that many, many years ago there lived a Jewish man by the name of Yochanan. You might know him better as John, John the Baptist. And one day while he was by the Jordan River, a man came towards him, and you know what he said? When Yeshua came towards him, Yeshua Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's how we're forgiven. Not through animal sacrifices that were brought in a temple, but through Yeshua, Jesus, whose blood was shed on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven for our sins. Now the second cup that we drink from is called the cup of plagues. And you know in Jewish tradition, a full cup, a cup that's complete to the top, represents joy. But since we're sad over those plagues that came upon the land of Egypt, we actually lessen our joy by pouring out of this cup 10 times and saying the plagues. Now, who of you actually can remember what the 10 plagues were? Anyone remember? I can give you some clues. How about this one? Yes. Frog. That was the very first one. Actually, blood was the first one. Then came frogs. Yeah.
I know.
One of the last ones? How about the third one? What's this? Aspire? No, not quite.
Locust.
Yep, Kaylee?
Locust.
No, not a locust. What's this?
Beetle.
A beetle? Close. It's a lice. Okay, it's a louse. A louse. So blood, frogs, lice, then there were wild beasts. Yep, wild beasts. That was one of the plagues. What was the next plague? Next plague was, here's a tip.
Eyes closed. Yep. Cassie, do you know? It was a cattle plague. The next one was boils. And then how about this? Whoops. How about that? What was that?
Hail.
Hail, very good. Hail, very good. And after hail came what?
Locusts.
And after locusts came?
Darkness.
And after darkness came what? The last plague is what?
The firstborn would die.
Exactly. Death. Death of the firstborn. And so we empty this cup 10 times as we lessen our joy and remember those plagues. The next item is actually the third cup, and it's the most important part of the service. It's called the cup of redemption. And actually, before we can eat this, we have a little bit of a problem because something's missing. Earlier, something was broken and buried. Do you remember what it was called? Oh, what was it called?
Matzah.
Matzah. It was a special matzah, that Greek name.
I know where it's hiding.
Oh, well, you first need to tell me what it's called. Somebody once yelled out avocado, and I said, no, close, but not quite. Afrikomen. All right? Now, if you had your eyes closed, it's opportunity to go and look for the afikomen. It could be hidden anywhere in this whole room. So I'm going to count to three, and you can start looking. Now, let me tell you one thing. It's not near the guitar, and it's not near the sound equipment. Okay?
No.
You know where? Did you peep? No? All right. Well, I'm going to count three, and on a count of three, you can start looking. You can get up from your seat and start looking. One, two, three. That was very quick. How did you know it was there? It was peeping out? Next time we have to do a harder job of hiding this. Well, oh, Jamie, I'm supposed to buy this back from you. We're supposed to bargain. If I give you $1, can I have that back?
Yes.
Yes? Wow, that was really easy. You only want $1? No, not five.
20.
$3? That's a deal. For $3. You can come and see me afterwards, okay?
Okay.
All right. I bought this back from her. Good job. All the children search for it. Once it's found, it's actually broken into small, tiny pieces about the size of an olive or a little tomato. And this olive-sized piece of afikomen is taken with this cup, the cup of redemption. Does this look familiar to anyone? Yep. Go ahead. Carrie, right? Abby. Sorry. What does this look like? Communion. That's where it comes from. We in church, when we take communion, it comes from taking this piece of afikomen and the cup of redemption, which Yeshua took in the middle of Passover and told us that he would give it a new meaning. So the cup of redemption and the piece of afikomen are taken in Jewish homes at this time in remembrance of those first Passover lambs. But for you and I who know Yeshua, we take it in remembrance of Yeshua and what he did for us. At the Last Supper, Yeshua actually said, "This is my body, which was broken for you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which was shed in my name. Now do this," he says, "not in remembrance of those lambs, but in remembrance of me." In remembrance of what he did for us when he gave his body and when his blood was shed on the cross for you and I. Yep? So towards the end, not now, but at the end, we're going to each get a piece of this and a piece of juice, a piece of juice and a cup of juice, and we get to partake of that. So that's the cup of redemption, and that's the most important part of Passover. You know, friends, if you remember nothing else, but you remember this cup, the cup of redemption, and this piece of afikomen, and remember that it's about Yeshua and reminding us that he gave his blood and his body for us so that we could be forgiven for our sins, then you've learned a very important lesson. Yep? You agree? You think this is the most important part of Passover? I think so. Because you know, Yeshua is my Passover lamb, and I hope he's yours too. The final cup, the fourth cup we drink from, is called the cup of halal. You all know a Hebrew word, it's the word hallelujah. You know what hallelujah means? Whoops. Hallelujah. What does hallelujah mean? You can blow those out if they're too difficult to make stand. All right, folks, let's focus on this. What does hallelujah mean? You know all the answers. How about you, Jason, or your friend? What does hallelujah mean? Happy? Close, very close. All right, Jamie.
Greeting each other?
No, that's not what hallelujah means. Abby. No. No cheating. Do you know? What does it mean? It means praise the Lord. And this is the cup of praise. I think it's kind of wonderful that after the cup of redemption, that important third cup, we get to take part in the cup of praise. But there's one last cup, a cup I haven't even told you about yet. The cup from which no one's allowed to drink. The cup of Elijah the prophet. And in fact, in most Jewish homes, we put a whole plate, knife and fork and everything for Elijah. Why do we do that for Elijah? Anybody else know? We do that because you know what? The prophet Malachi, the last prophet of the Hebrew scriptures, said before the Messiah can come, he is preceded and announced by Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet. And so maybe some of you, when you were the youngest child in the home, or maybe you still are, do you remember running to the front door and opening it wide to see if Elijah would be there? And before we actually do that, we sing a song of invitation to Elijah. Some of you may know this song. It goes, Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Hatishvi, Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu Hagiladi, Bin Hera Beyameinu, Yahweh Aleinu, In Mashiach Ben David, In Mashiach Ben David. Elijah the prophet, Elijah the Gileadite, Elijah the Tishbite, come quickly, even tonight, and with you bring the Messiah, the Son of David. And you know, every year, in millions of Jewish homes around the world, the Jewish children run to the front door and open it wide, hoping Elijah's going to stand there. And you know what? Elijah's not going to be there, because Elijah's already come. Yeshua Jesus, speaking of John the Baptist, said, if you care to accept it, John the Baptist is the one who was to come. The prophet, the forerunner, has already come, and so has our Messiah, who's the Savior and Redeemer of the world. Is he your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? That's wonderful. And this Monday night is the beginning of Pesach, the beginning of Passover. And as you celebrate Passover, I hope you remember Yeshua and at the Last Supper, what he did for us in exclaiming that he came to pay the price for your sins and mine so that we could be forgiven. That's a message of love and hope, don't you think? Yep. Well, why don't you all grab a piece of Afikoman? And we're going to sing one last song. It's called Dayenu. Do you know Dayenu? Why don't you each grab a piece of Afikoman? Take a cup and pass it around. Yes. What do you want? Daddy's going to play. Piece of matzo, piece of afikoman. You want to tell them a bit about Dayenu?
Yeah. All right. Which of you guys have heard Dayenu before? Raise your hand. Did you, Mickey? Did you say what Dayenu means?
Yep. No.
Does anybody here know what Dayenu means? Yes, Kaylee. What does Dayenu mean?
It means that we praise God.
Close. Anyone else? What does Dayenu mean? It's a Hebrew word. No? It means enough. Enough already. It means, this song basically says, if God had just taken us out of Egypt, like we just learned about from Mickey, that would have been enough for us. Well, if he had just given us the Torah, the Bible, that we could read and know about him, that would have been enough for us too. But God gives us more. And so we also say, if God had just given us Yeshua, that we could hear his words and know about him, that would have been enough for us. But God gave his spirit that we might know him and that we might live with God forever. So what I will do is I will sing the verses in Hebrew, and then if you guys can sing the chorus with me, and there's only one word in the chorus. The word is Dayenu. And you can feel free to clap and sing. And those of you that know the song out there, if you would clap and sing along as we sing Dayenu.
Hosianu, Hosianu, me Mitzrayim, Hosianu, me Mitzrayim, Dayenu, Day, Dayenu, Day, Dayenu, Day, Dayenu, 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 Day, Dayenu, Day, Dayenu, Day, Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. All right, that was pretty good. I want you to do it a little louder next time. Natalanu, Natalanu, Eta Torah, Natalanu, Eta Torah, Dayenu. Together. Dayenu, 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 Dayenu. All right, last time. If God had only given us Yeshua, that would have been enough. Natalanu, Natalanu, Ed Messiah, Natalanu, Ed Messiah, Dayenu. Better than the Dai, Dayenu, Dai, Dayenu, Dai, Dayenu, 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 Dai, Dayenu, Dai, Dayenu, Dai, Dayenu, 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 Dai, Dayenu, Dai, Dayenu, Dai, Dayenu, 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 Dai, Dayenu, Dai, Dayenu, Dai, Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu.
By the way, I always learned that song that you say it enough times that finally everyone's ready to say, enough, enough, Dayenu, and then you get it. Okay, we have a few announcements before we close tonight. This coming Saturday, or a week from tomorrow actually, Jews for Jesus is going to be having a Passover banquet in Woburn. This will be a time you can come and bring your friends, bring your family. It should be a wonderful time to celebrate Pesach together. You know, especially if you can't do it as a family this week, this gives you another opportunity. And even for those of you who can do it as a family, they do a wonderful job of that. And there's flyers in the back, so... Please, if you have any questions, please ask Nikki. She and Garrett, her husband, will be leading that. Let's see, after services, we're going to be having Oneg downstairs, so please join us downstairs. Get to know one another. This Shabbat is a special time to worship God, but it's also a special time of community. And so we invite you to come down. And because it isn't Passover actually yet until Monday, there will be challah. So this is your last shot to enjoy challah for the next couple weeks. So please do that. If you would, please stand as I close. And with the Aaronic benediction, kids, if you would please stand up. And bow your heads as we pray. Yivarech echa Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yaher Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom. Thank you for coming. Please join us downstairs.